This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Talk to Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bill great. How's morale in Buffalo today? Also, Jay Billis will stop by as well. Got some college basketball coming up, some big matchups. We'll talk about that. Also, Spurs at the Thunder, it's Wemby versus Chet Holmgren. Timberwolves, the sneaky Timberwolves at the Warriors. That's the marquee games in the NBA. And some Mac football, some Maction coming up. Jim Harbaugh talks at his press conference. Not sure if he's going to speak at the hearing coming up on Friday, but it's Michigan versus Maryland coming up on Saturday. Broncos over the Bills at the buzzer, 24-22. The Bills, 5-5. The Broncos at 4-5. Poll question for the final hour of the program is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, Josh Allen is a top three NFL quarterback or hurting his team as much as helping it. Right now that's at 81% that he's hurting his team as much as helping it. And then are the Bills going to be in the Super Bowl or miss the playoffs? That's 95% miss the playoffs.
I'm looking at the draft order right now. Bears, that pick from the Panthers. Then it's the Giants, Cardinals, Patriots, Bears, Packers, Rams, Titans, Broncos, Falcons. Bears, yes. Giants, yes. Cardinals, maybe. Patriots, yes. Bears, no. Packers, probably not. Rams, yes. Titans, no. Broncos, probably no. Falcons, yes. Drafting a quarterback. Bears have two picks, and that probably, if they have that first pick, would use it on a quarterback, I'd think. The Giants, I'd certainly think long and hard about that. Kyler Murray is playing for his job, his future in Arizona, but does Arizona want Kyler Murray to be their quarterback in their future? And Kyler made some plays. He had a nice little scramble for 33 yards, but he's hurting the draft status. The Patriots, they will move on. The Packers, do you give Jordan Love another year? Let me see what happens the rest of this season. The Rams, yes. I mean, they with Stafford there, but how much longer? You had Stetson Bennett, who was on the roster. The Titans, you have three quarterbacks, and even though Will Levis, he looked great, then he looked okay, and then he looked average, but this is what happens. Teams get a large enough sample size on Will Levis, and now you start to plan defensively, and that's what happened, I think, these last two games. The Broncos, do you take a quarterback if you're inside the top 10? I'm gonna say probably not. Falcons at 10, what are you going to get? Who are you going to get? And do you want to get the fourth best quarterback at number 10, or do you want to get maybe the first best player at another position? You know, that's always the dilemma. It's like you got to get a quarterback. No, you have to get your quarterback. And I think that's the key sometimes when you draft. You're like, hey, we got to get our quarterback. No, get your quarterback. There's a big difference in that. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you. Downloading that app and our radio affiliates around the country. He went to 7 Pro Bowls, 5-time first-team All-Pro. He is the former CBS sports analyst and reporter. He co-hosts One Bills Live. That airs weekdays from 1 to 3, and he also handles post-game duties for the team. What was it like, Steve, post-game in the locker room for the Bills?
I'm thinking it's pretty excruciating. Yeah. This is a game that, you know, you got to feel like for your Bill that you absolutely gift-wrapped and tied a bow on for the Broncos to give away a game like that, particularly at the end where not only have you played and turned the ball over, you're minus 3 on the turnovers in the first half alone, you're still only trailing by a touchdown. Come back, finally give yourself a lead with 2 minutes to go with a defense that has been played really well, even though they were been depleted. And then to have them miss a field goal to win it, only to have 12 men on the field, I think it's excruciating and embarrassing a little bit. It's definitely a dark Tuesday in Buffalo after a Monday night game, no question about it.
Okay, can you pinpoint what's the problem?
Yeah, no, I can't. There have been a couple of weeks that there was a stretch early in the first month of the season where this team was lights out, you know, hanging 37 on the Raiders, 38 on Washington, and then hanging 48 on a Dolphins team that was 3-1 coming in. You know, I mean, they really seemed like they had it. Now, all of a sudden, you're right. The problem seems to be a little bit esoteric. You know, maybe it's a combination of things. Maybe it's something different every week. But obviously, something's wrong with the recipe. Whatever the ingredients are, you got too much of this and too little of that. It seems like they've got the recipes in the cupboard somewhere, and they just can't figure out the mix. Josh Allen seems to be regressing to where he was 2018, turning it over too much.
Yeah.
Certainly, he's and one thing that's been disconcerting is they come out of these games and they're turning it over. I mean, right away. I mean, right out of the gate in 3 games this year, they've turned it over on the first series. Couple of games on the first offensive play. So obviously that is not a recipe for success. But I think if you're gonna put it at the feet of one thing, it's been the turnovers more than anything.
I made this comparison earlier in the show. You played in the Brett Favre era. I do see some Brett Favre, Josh Allen similarities there. Wanting to make the play. Brett was a gunslinger. I don't know if Josh is labeled a gunslinger, but you know, always willing to try to make the big play, sometime to the detriment of their team. Is that a fair comparison?
Oh, I think so. I think Josh has been labeled, even by some of the people that have played in post-game comments, teams have said, yeah, we see a lot of arm arrogance in Josh Allen. You know, we know he's going to try and make a throw nobody else is going to try and make. And let's face it, I mean, it's awesome when he does it and pulls it off. And he does it once or twice a game, in almost every game. But lately, he's been trying a little too much and been trying, you know, some of the same shots, this, you know, the shots, the deep throw to the sideline on a hole shot on a cover two. He tries that and he'll hit it more than anybody, but he throws more interceptions there than anybody because that underneath receiver, the underneath defensive back sloughs off and gets back into the throwing lane a little faster than Josh anticipates. We've seen some outstanding catches made in that spot. We've seen multiple interceptions being thrown there. So teams are starting to get a handle that Josh is going to try and throw it if you can get in there. So a little bit of that, and then we've also got places where early in games Josh will throw it to a guy and he'll put some heat on it to get into a tight window, and it turns into a volleyball match. The guy comes off the guy's hands and it turns into an interception. We saw that last night with Gabe Davis on the second series of the game. So, you know, you come out of the gate, turn it over twice, in a game against the Denver Broncos, all of a sudden they're way in it in a game where maybe otherwise they might be a little overmatched and they end up pulling it out at the end.
You know, we're talking to Steve Tasker, former Buffalo Bills All-Pro. Give me best case scenario for this team. Realistic best case scenario the rest of the season.
They got to go. I mean, realistically, they got to go. I'm thinking 5-2 down the stretch of the last eight games. And they've got the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins. They got a first-place schedule. And now they've done, you know, the first, you know, Dan, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you got to do is stop digging. You know, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So
wow.
They gotta go, you know, 6-2, maybe 5-3 over the last eight games they got left, or last seven games they got left, 5-2, to have a shot to really get in. Now, if they beat the Patriots, Dolphins, and Jets, they got a shot at the division title if they can win a couple of those other games. But the best case scenario is if they find some way to claw and kick and scratch to get in, even as a seventh wild card, there's enough horses in the room to make a run like they did in weeks 2, 3, and 4. They should get Von Miller healthier and healthier and healthier. There's a chance Daquan Jones could get back on the field. There's a chance they'll get healthier and they'll have guys like Rasul Douglas get more acclimated into the equation, be a CB1 or CB2 here. So they got a chance to get back healthier. Micah Hyde could get back on the field. So they got a chance to get healthier down the stretch, and they do have the ingredients in the cupboard, I think, to put a run together, no question. But that, now the question isn't how are they going to look when they get to the playoffs. Can they get over that hump? The question is, can they get there? And then when they do, find what they were so good at in the first month of the season. It's a tall order. You know, it's a long season, but they got to find a way to get in and then put a run together. That's best case scenario. They got to go 5-2 down those last seven games with a gauntlet of a schedule.
If the Bills don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, and it's interesting, it's hard to, and I know this too, it's hard to defend, you know, what's going on, even with the coaching staff and the players after a game like last night. But this is still a team that's really difficult to beat. The times you see them lose games are through ways that are unsustainable. You don't get a missed field goal and 12 men on the field to beat this, you know, without beating this team. Last year, the same thing with the Minnesota loss last year. They had three game stoppers, and all three of them go catastrophically against the Bills. The narrative around Buffalo now is they're looking back. There's a 13-second game, that game. There's a Hail Mary. There's the Minnesota game, as I mentioned, the overtime game in Tampa Bay. All these losses are all by single digits. They're through some quirky, weird circumstance that somehow the team pulls out a victory. And that's the personality of the Bills' losses. Their wins are convincing, and they have the horses. But if you don't go to the playoffs this year and you look at how they've lost, it does seem to be something in that recipe that is not allowing them to get over the hump. You know, you got names like now Marty Schottenheimer and Marvin Lewis being compared to Sean McDermott as a guy who builds a great culture, great system, but they're not good enough to get over the top. Tony Dungy, the same thing when he was in Tampa Bay before he got to Indianapolis. You know, there's been other coaches like that. Andy Reid, same thing. He was in Philly, could never get over the hump. He was a good coach, never a great coach. Well, now we've seen him take that next step. That's where Sean McDermott and this staff seem to be, on the cusp of being good enough to put together a really competitive team, but something's missing when they get to the pinnacle.
Great to talk to you again, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Great seeing you, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Tasker, five-time first-team All-Pro, special team, seven-time Pro Bowl selection, and works for the Buffalo Bills. A couple of phone calls in here. Tom in North Carolina. Hi, Tom. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, real quick, I didn't get a chance to call yesterday. I want to shout out to the NC State girls basketball, beating number 2 UConn. Also doing a little bit of a deep dive, bringing out the NFL conspiracies, looking at the different covers of the Madden football game.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happens, Josh Allen is on the cover this year.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Tom. Used to be the Sports Illustrated cover jinx, but Sports Illustrated isn't, you know, prominent anymore. But Madden, on the cover of Madden, and usually it doesn't go well for that person. Petey in Georgia. Hi, Petey. What's on your mind today?
What's going on, Dan? You doing all right?
Hi, Pete.
I like to make a No Meat Friday tattoo bet with Mr. Pabst.
Well, Paulie's not going to get a tattoo.
Nah, just a no meat Friday.
Oh, me. So Paulie doesn't get a meat Friday, and if he wins, then you get a tattoo.
That's right.
Okay. Correct. All right. What's the bet?
Falcons against the Bears. 31st at the Bears, I believe.
Okay. Paulie, do you want a piece of the Falcons and the Bears, and then you lose out on a meat Friday? And if Petey happens to lose, you get a tattoo of what?
The Chicago C.
Okay, so he'll get a Chicago Bear.
Is this game in a couple weeks?
It's December 31st, I believe.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
The only reason I'm calling this far ahead is because I really can't call in when I'm at work. So.
Oh. Oh.
Respect.
Okay. Paulie, are you open to maybe losing out on a meat Friday if the Falcons beat the Bears in Chicago at the end of the year?
Risking meat is not really in my vocabulary. You know me. I'd probably rather get a tattoo. Can I ask you, do you have any tattoos already? Do you have a bunch of them?
I got three, so blank page almost.
All right. I would do it for a Walter Payton tattoo.
Woo!
34, just a 34 in Bears colors. Dark blue and orange.
Sick. All right. I know how much Walter means to you, so yeah, we'll do that.
Beautiful. I would give up meat to spread the word about the greatness of Walter Payton. That one of the few things.
Thank you, Petey. Okay.
There you go.
All right. So you may lose out on a meat Friday, but you could get a Walter Payton tattoo.
Yeah.
Gibbs in Virginia Beach. Hi, Gibbs. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dano.
Hey,
your scripted show on radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not exactly Atticus Finch checking in, but I'm here to settle the AI-MJ debate for Lucky Luciano in Brooklyn. What up to the shop? I told Martin this many times when he was TTM in the back taking calls. As a native 757 guy, we have a plethora of notable guys from the area. Bruce Smith, Cam Chancellor, Percy Plax. I could go on and on. But I actually went to the university with best-looking uniforms on the field and on the court. Shout out to Julian's on Franklin. I would never disrespect Jeffrey in any way, but Bubba Chuck had more cultural orbit than anyone ever, maybe save for MV7, and he's also a 757 guy. But Chuck's background set him apart. He missed his entire senior season after winning the state title in football and basketball sitting in Hampton Roads jail. I don't think there's anyone that can compare, and Kobe Bryant said it best. We should all be grateful AI wasn't 6'5".
All right. Thank you, Gibbs. Yeah, Bubba Chuck is AI's nickname. Yeah, you wonder if John Thompson didn't come to rescue Allen Iverson when he was in jail, where he would be.
But where Seton Hall would probably be as a school bus. Somehow John Thompson did it again.
You're not bitter, are you?
It was like Patrick Ewing. What the hell? Dikembe Mutombo. Like all of these. Alonzo Mourning. What is it? Allen Iverson? Where the hell are all these guys coming from? It was just one after the. As soon as one graduated, another one came in that was just as good or better. You're like, holy crap!
I remember standing next to Iverson, standing next to Steve Nash, standing next to Nate Archibald. And you go, so I'm taller than all of those guys, but you're going, how do these guys do it? Because Iverson just kept coming at you. He was relentless. Archibald kept coming at you, relentless. And Nash had this ability to understand spacing as well as anybody who's ever played the game. Angles, understand. You know, he couldn't jump. He wasn't quick, but he was an unbelievable shooter. He might have been, was he the first 90, 50, 40 in the NBA?
I think that was Larry Joe Bird.
Was Larry 40 from... Oh, okay. He wasn't shooting as many right. as the... Okay. So 90 from the line, 50 from the field, 40 from three-point range. But I think Nash might have done that a couple of times. Not many guys are told by their coach to shoot more. And Steve Nash was told, you got to shoot more. Yes, Marv.
He was winning the MVP award, averaging about 17 a night.
That was a fun team to watch.
Yeah, it was.
He should have won one MVP, not two. Because the other one was Shaq.
Shaq's.
No, it was. It was. But Nash earned the other one. He was a fun player. All right, we'll take a break. Jay Billis will join us. He's a lawyer, so I'm going to ask Bill is to represent Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and represent the Big Ten in this situation. We'll talk to Jay coming up right after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. More phone calls coming up. This just in, Buffalo Bills have fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. Steve Tasker, who just joined us, sent us a text saying that this was going to happen, and it did just a couple of minutes ago. So Buffalo Bills, I don't know. Now, let's say they don't have 12 guys on the field. Let's say they win that game without, you know, with that missed field goal. Is the offensive coordinator fired after that win? because it's still the same performance after the offense, but they lose, and they had 12 men on the field. They got another chance for a field goal. They made the kick, and Denver wins it. But I'm curious, if Buffalo had won that game by the narrowest of margins, would their offensive coordinator have been fired? He's Jay Billis. The 13th annual State Farm Champions Classic returns tonight. It's Duke, Michigan State, and then it'll be Kansas and Kentucky. That'll be at the United Center in Chicago, and Jay will be working with Dan Schulman and Holly Rowe. Good to see you. Before I get to basketball, you being a lawyer, I want you to represent Michigan and Jim Harbaugh in this situation that's going on with the Big Ten.
It's primarily, Dan, a due process argument. I don't think they're going to get to the merits of what happened and exactly what evidence the Big Ten may have. It's a question of, did the Big Ten follow its rules, and did Michigan get due process of a hearing and to present their evidence before a punishment was handed down? I haven't read the Big Ten bylaws. I don't know what their sportsmanship, you know, this is all under the aegis or the umbrella of sportsmanship policy. I don't know what it says, but I think it's a little bit of an uphill climb for Michigan here, and I think the Big Ten is probably going to wind up having the authority to ultimately do what it did.
Is there cheating in basketball? I mean, this is sign stealing. I don't know. And we had the Astros in baseball. Is there anything that is still nefarious with college basketball, given that you have NIL, transfer portal?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there's always been, you know, players being paid and all that stuff that's sort of outside the rule book. And nobody even knows what the rule book is right now with NIL. The players are not supposed to be paid for play. But that everybody who had any brain in their head knew that's what NIL was going to be. But I don't know of any, you know, there's no in-person scouting for basketball. I know there's a lot of information sharing. So if, you know, if I've got a friend, say I'm on the staff at Dayton and we're playing, you know, George Washington, and I've got a friend on another staff who just played George Washington, I know there's sharing of scouting reports, but I don't think that there's anything nefarious about that. I think the problem for Michigan here was the violation of the in-person scouting rule. And, you know, it used to be in basketball, football, you could go to opponents' games and have advanced scouting in person. But they got rid of that, I think, more for cost than anything.
All right. What should we be looking for tonight with this doubleheader?
You know, four of the preseason best teams in the country, I think the lowest rated team was 16th, and that's Kentucky. You know, in the first game, Michigan State has not played well. And they're a veteran team that went to the Sweet 16 last year, and they've got four out of their five starters back. The only one gone is Joey Hauser. And I think they're, you know, 2 of 31 in their first two games from three. They've been out-rebounded. They have not looked the part of a Michigan State team. I tend to think that that's going to change tonight, and it better. You know, Duke just came off a loss against Arizona in a heavyweight fight in Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was so great to see that kind of game this early in the season. And you can tell that Tommy Lloyd of Arizona and John Shire of Duke, you know, want to play those type of games and test their teams. And Duke's got some adjustments to make. They got out-rebounded badly against Arizona. And Arizona kind of exposed that, that, you know, shot makers at the four position, you know, they can lay off the four-man and clog the lane. So Duke's going to have to adjust to that.
Best pro prospect in the building tonight will be who?
You know, I think there are about 15 guys off these four rosters that are going to play in the NBA. I think Jonathan Givony projected 7 are going to be taken in the first round this year in the draft if they were to come out. It's probably between, I'd say, Justin Edwards at Kentucky, the freshman, or the sophomore Kyle Filipowski at Duke. They're you know, they're very different players, but Kentucky's got kind of a, I don't want to say old school, but it's John Calipari going back to, hey, we're getting the best freshmen, and we're gonna develop talent, and at the end of the year we're gonna be really good, but we're gonna be really young at the beginning and bring them along. He did the transfer thing the last couple of years, and it didn't work out quite the way. They weren't as talented but older, and I think he's gone back to the I want super talent, and they've got super talent this year.
The three-point shot and how important it is. These coaches, when they go out recruiting, Like, how important is it that they're looking for that 3-point shooter? And like, where is that at the priority list of bringing in these players?
It's pretty high. It's not quite NBA high, because I think, you know, you've noticed this because you know basketball so well, but there are so many low post big guys in the country right now that are among the best players. They're not as coveted in the NBA, so they're staying in school longer, whether it's Zach Edey, Ryan Kalkbrenner at Creighton, you know, you name Hunter Dickinson at Kansas, you name it. And years ago, those guys would have all been gone, but now they're coming back. One, they can make a lot of money in college, but they're not first-round draft picks like they've been in the past. I think if you can stretch it, you're way more valuable, but, you know, you still need rim protection. And that's one thing. Kentucky has it, but their rim protectors are hurt right now. So they're playing kind of a smaller lineup, five out, and I think that will change when their big guys come back.
He's Jay Billis. He'll be on the call with Dan Shulman and Holly Rowe tonight. It's a doubleheader on the mothership, Duke, Michigan State, followed by Kentucky and Kansas. When we look back on Loyola Marymount, were they ahead of everybody with what is today's, like, was it a different style with, you know, we're going to take the three, we're going to give you the two, and we're just going to run you all night long?
A little bit, yeah. Paul Westhead, who I had a kind of a connection to, I went to high school with his daughters, Monica and Patrice, at Rolling Hills High School in California. And I also played with Jack McKinney's son, John, when he fell off the bike and all that stuff happened with the Showtime Lakers right around 1980, 81, give or take, when I was a sophomore and junior in high school. And I think when Westhead got kind of bounced around a little bit, you know, it seemed like he said, okay, you want me to play fast? I want to play fast. And I remember looking at, I was an assistant, grad assistant at Duke at the time, and I remember looking at, like, press guides of opponents, and everybody had their career high against Loyola Marymount. Everybody. If they played them, that was every player's career high, because the scores were up in the 120s and sometimes 130. But, yeah, they ran, and you know, defense was not at a premium. Even though, like, Westhead grew up in the Philly kind of LaSalle St. Joe's tree, where that's not the way they played. But yeah, I think they were a little bit ahead of their time. But I think you can balance it and run, get easy baskets, quick threes. I mean, you'd rather have a three in transition than work 20 seconds to get one where it's going to be more contested. It's not always true, but that's that. I think back then, Dan, we didn't understand, because a three came into college in 87. And we didn't understand the asymmetrical threat it was. Remember back then when Pitino was at Providence and everybody's like, oh my God, look at all the threes they're shooting. What, they shoot 12 a game? You know, now you shoot 12 in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a totally different game now. But it's opened things up and it's a little bit more exciting game. But I'll tell you what, like the people our age that are going, geez, these big guys, they don't know how to play. Like, they're having to guard ball screens and recover, and they're guarding multiple actions, and you worry when they pick up a foul. Holy cow. Like, my biggest task was I had to meet my assignment at the free throw line and fight him for low post position. That was the end of it. I never guarded a ball screen in college.
But I go back to that Pitino Providence team with Billy Donovan. I mean, that wasn't a great team as much as it was. It felt like it was a system. Like, he had a system before. Nolan Richardson had a system, but, you know, that was defense. But here was Pitino. I mean, he was so far ahead of his time with utilizing the three-point shot as a weapon.
He always has been in everything. He's probably, along with Bob Knight, maybe the best teacher of the game I've come across. But, you know, he's going to look to what's his advantage. I mean, a lot of, you know, Dan, you've seen this as much as I have. A lot of coaches will talk about how they want to play. And maybe not enough think about how we're going to win. Doesn't matter how I want to play. How are we going to win with the personnel we have? And Pitino's always been at the forefront of how are we going to win.
When you see Zion Williamson now, what goes through your mind?
Same thing that went through my mind the first time I saw him, is that there's never been anybody like this on a basketball floor. And the only thing that's kept him from being the player among the players in the league has been injury. And when he's healthy, his numbers are ridiculous. His efficiency is a joke, and he's freaking unstoppable. And, you know, the only other player I remember saying that about, that I've never seen anything like this on a basketball floor, is Victor Wembanyama, because at 7'4", he's doing things that nobody's ever done at that size. And I'm not surprised he's maybe a little bit surprised he's having that much success this early, but I'm not surprised he's having success. You knew if he stayed healthy, he was going to come, but this early, it's been pretty remarkable, I think.
And you, of course, were a lockdown defender in college. How would you guard Victor Wembanyama?
I would start screaming for help.
As soon as you got to the arena?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be in the game very long if I were. But that's kind of the thing. I mean, wait a minute.
You played against Samson, though, didn't you?
Well, I was in the game when Samson was there. That was my first ACC game. It was we played number one Virginia. It was like late December or early December in 82, 83. And I did a great defensive job on Samson. I held him to 36 points.
Okay.
And it was remarkable. And I felt really bad about that. I thought I need to find something else to do. And then 2 weeks later, he had 40 against Ohio State. He was guarded by Clark Kellogg and Herb Williams. And I thought, well, maybe I don't suck as much as I thought. They had two other players on him, and he had 40.
Are you at Duke's practice now?
Yeah, they're finishing up their shoot-around. Then Michigan State comes in, then Kansas. And
you're not going to get – if Coach K was coaching Duke right now, would he have a problem with you being – on a Zoom call?
No, he wouldn't have had a problem. Coach K treated me as a broadcaster much like as a player. He didn't notice me when I was in the gym.
I said this when Coach Knight died, that you did me a favor when you talked to him one time, and he wanted to know if anybody, I'm paraphrasing, anybody at SportsCenter knew basketball, and you mentioned that I did, and it changed my relationship with him. Up until the very end, I was in contact with somebody who was close to him. But I wanted to thank you again for saying that, because A, you were correct that I did know basketball. But you know, he accepted me because of you, kind of validating that. So I appreciate that.
Well, he accepted you because of you, not anything I said. I mean, it was just a discussion. He didn't find too many people at that time at the company that he trusted, and on the basketball side. And I tried to talk him out of it, that there were, and you know, you were the one. But it was not just basketball knowledge, Dan. I don't mean to blow smoke at you, but it was because of how trustworthy you are. And so I'm not surprised you two had a good relationship.
Have fun. Thanks for joining us. My best to Holly and Dan, and we'll be watching tonight.
Always, brother. Thank you for having me.
That's Jay Billis. He'll be on the call tonight. So it's a doubleheader. It's Duke and Michigan State. That's 7 Eastern on the mothership, followed by Kentucky and number one Kansas. That's the United Center in Chicago. Let me see if I can squeeze in a phone call here. Barry in New Mexico. Good morning, Barry. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. Dan, I've been a faithful listener. Hopefully I've given you a few yucks over the years. Could you please, please, please stop playing the Robert Sala press conferences? I mean, I have two eyes. I was at the game on Sunday. They're not changing the quarterback. They're not changing the play calling. Enough already. Sheesh.
All right. Will do, Barry. Actually, I won't. I'll continue to play Robert Saleh. And let the beard go gray if it goes gray. That's my advice. You don't want to do what Ryan Day did. Now you have to maintain it all the time. You wake up every morning, and that's the first thing you're going to do. So how's my beard look? Is there any gray in there? Let it go. David in Texas. Hi, David. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dave.
6'2", 225. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a new slogan for Crappensburg State.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Crappensburg State, just go.
Okay.
All right, David.
Thank you, David. Just do it.
Just go.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at the 90-50-40 guys. Larry Bird did it 86 and 87. Mark Price, Reggie Miller, Steve Kerr, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki. Here's one for you. Jose Calderon.
No way. Of course.
Then it was Steve Nash, Steve Nash, Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. That's the list of those who have gone 90 from the line, 50 from the floor, and 40 from three-point range. Last call for phone calls, what we've learned, what's in store tomorrow, this day in sports history, right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Make sure you go to danpatrick.com. Sign up for Dan's Deals. This is the Black Friday before the Black Friday. All deals that we have. These are name brands that we love, and we want to pass on the savings to you. You'll get 50, 60% off or more. We did this with Mother's Day. We did it last year at this time, and it was a big hit. We're basically helping you with your holiday shopping. But you have to go to danpatrick.com, put your email address in the box that slides out, and then you will hear from us and get the opportunity before anybody else. Go to danpatrick.com for that. Big day tomorrow. The lead singer for the band Rush, Geddy Lee, will join us on the program. He is selling all of his baseball memorabilia. And I saw an interview he did with Dan Rather, and he had a lot of baseballs. But we'll talk to him about why he's selling all of his memorabilia. Will Geddy Lee sing on the show?
Boy, I don't know. I think he's retired. Like, retired.
Yeah, but your voice isn't retired.
He may shred the bass if you want him to a little
Ooh.
Bit. That'd be fantastic.
Okay.
Do you think he would ever sell? I wonder if he's also selling Rush memorabilia, like bass guitars that he used back in the day.
Okay. Are you going to answer the phone, kind of like when Seton did with Ricky Henderson?
I answered the phone last time Geddy Lee called in, and I tried my best. I had the dry mouth thing.
Yeah.
Great to have you on. I'm not making that up. He goes, oh, thanks. I'm like, put him on hold, dummy.
So we're going to have that. But to top Geddy Lee being on, Marvin has a documentary being done on his life by the Connecticut Huskies magazine. I didn't know they had one, but they're coming in tomorrow to observe and see how Marvin, a grad of UConn, and how he kind of lives a daily life here. Yes, Marv.
I can't wait to embellish. You know, I had the most humble of beginnings. I didn't know how I was going to eat the next day. I can't wait till my mother just goes, "What? Marv, you lived pretty normal." Okay. I didn't know. Okay. We were living under a bridge. Wait, what?
And then we have to come up with some quotes. You know, maybe the audience could help us suggest some quotes that we could use for Marvin. Just generic quotes that kind of describe Marvin in a nutshell. Yeah, Paul.
When this issue of UConn magazine comes out, we should promote the heck out of it. Make it the biggest selling issue ever. Like the cover with Diana Taurasi is second.
Do they charge you for this magazine or?
I think it's sent out to alums.
Oh.
But let's say there's a website where you could order a copy. We should just blow the doors off.
Yeah. I'm going to order 1,000.
The Gino Auriemma one, second all time.
Yeah. Paige Becker's issue. You're going to outsell that. Yeah,
Marvin Prince. Yep.
Yeah.
That was the one.
What magazine sold the best? Oh, obviously Marvin Prince.
Obviously.
Yeah. Dan Patrick Show. Dale in Kentucky. Hi, Dale. What's on your mind? Then we'll do This Day in Sports History. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Dan. I caught your interview on Carissa and Aaron Andrews' Calm Down. That was awesome. And I wanted to tell you, as of Friday, I will be a member of the DPSIC, the Dan Patrick Shutting.
Oh.
Replacement on my right knee Friday. So any advice, words of encouragement, I'm going to be glued to Peacock for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. You're getting a full knee replacement?
Yes.
Okay. There's a machine, an ice machine, that will go on your knee, and it just pumps cold water inside that device that they have. Ask for it, demand it, and use it as much as you can, because it will make it a whole lot easier. I went out and bought one because they were going to take it away from me after 2 weeks. And I said, I got to have this. And I kept it and I used it for 4 weeks. And it makes the transition a little bit easier. And your rehab is really important, Dale. You have to do it. You have to do it. It's going to hurt. You break through the scar tissue. Once you do that, make sure you go every single day. Do not skip a rehab. And drink tequila probably would be what I would tell you. But good luck, Dale. We're all counting on you. Yeah, this ice machine. I don't know what it's called, but it was unbelievable. And then I'm going, okay, this is tolerable. And then they go, we need the machine back. You can only have it for 2 weeks. I go, oh, no, you can't have this. You can take one of my kids, but you got to keep this. This day in sports history, Paul.
This is always a fun one. 1943, Sid Luckman, the Bears quarterback, became the first ever quarterback to throw for more than 400 yards in a game. He threw for 7 touchdowns as well as 433 against the New York Giants. That was in 1943. He still holds the Bears record for most touchdown passes in a game.
Oh, well, nobody's going to get to 7.
No, especially a Bears quarterback.
No.
3 is like 6 for a Bears quarterback. Who's second all-time on the Bears list?
Of touchdowns
in a game.
Sid Luckman.
Mitch Trubisky was 6.
Oh, of course he is.
Trubisky.
Yes. Anything else?
Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman married in Vegas, 1998.
Yeah, thought it was going to last. Don Shula broke George Halas's career record, 325 NFL victories. Let's see, what else do I have here? Yeah, that's about it. Let's go around the room, what we learned on the program. Todd, I'm going to start with you. Did you learn anything today?
I did. Steve Tasker talking about the Bills and his best unintentional Dr. Phil impersonation says, when you find yourself in a hole, you got to stop digging.
The Buffalo Bills have fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. Seton O'Connor, what did you learn today?
Russell Wilson went back to the future.
Marvin?
Michigan is America's team.
Paulie, what did you learn?
Lots of Mac football tonight.
What did I learn today, toddler?
Steve Tasker once again says the Bills have the recipe for success in the cupboard somewhere, but they just can't find the mix.
I did laugh out loud when he said, you know, when you're in a hole, stop digging.
You got to understand something, Dan. When you find yourself in a hole, you got to stop digging. You got this big fancy aquarium, ain't got no fish in it.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, the only place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards. Great, great people. The official trading cards of the program for instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the emails, tweets, phone calls. Make sure you check out danpatrick.com for all the gear we have for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The utterly inspired all-electric EQE sedan from Mercedes-Benz. With hundreds of customizable comfort settings inside the cabin, it's the EV that recharges you. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE.